was going up to Mississippi for a little training, and I got in a DC 10.
I have to set my alarm. You have to watch it.
Which
so every day, 6 and 6, we have to give a shot.
We're going
to
wait for these times.
It's 6 o'clock. I think we can start. We have a call.
Okay. I'm going to call this meeting of the Citizens Transportation Oversight Commission to order. My name is John Gears. I'd like to thank all the commissioners for coming today. And we have a new member. Chris Fundis is our new member. Welcome.
Welcome.
And you got to do a 10-minute speech now.
I can do 10 minutes.
So let's start off with a roll call and see who is here and who is not. Vice Chairman Fernandez.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Fundis.
Here.
Commissioner Jarrett is absent. Commissioner Hauser. Not yet. Commissioner Nesfield.
Yes.
Commissioner O'Connor. Not yet. Commissioner Nyland.
Present.
Commissioner Rose.
Here.
Commissioner Sun.
Here.
Commissioner Young. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Is that enough to start? Okay. Here we go. Next item is to approve the agenda. If everyone please take into the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Lyland made the motion. Commissioner Nesfield seconded.
No,
Rose. Commissioner Rose, excuse me. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. It passes. Now let's approve the minutes. Everyone look over the minutes. And just for the record, Commissioner Young has just showed up. Welcome.
When
any corrections?
When was this meeting, anyhow? May.
June.
May 2nd.
Okay.
Okay, you guys have me. No, you have me as absent. Okay.
Did everybody read the entire minutes?
No.
No corrections? How about the last item on the minutes? Anybody want to make a motion to correct the fact that the meeting is not August 1st, but it's tonight?
Oh, yeah, that was the next one. That was fine.
So I need a motion to accept the minutes with the correction?
So made.
A second?
Second.
Same two? Are there any questions? Anybody has questions? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? And on to the next item. We have no members of the public, so we will skip that. The two people at the end are actually going to give a presentation, and Patrick will introduce them.
Chair Gears and Commissioners, Reese Henry and David Beard with our engineering department are here tonight to discuss the Ballpark Boulevard project. I think we'll give you guys an update and the opportunity to ask questions about the project. Okay, so with that, let's get this thing fired up. Somebody catch the lights there?
I'll just introduce. Good evening, everybody. My name is David Beard. I'm the city engineer in Glendale. And we are working on the Ballpark Boulevard project, and we're here tonight to give you an update on our progress and kind of show you what's going on. The presenter tonight will be Reese Henry. He's the project manager for the project. And I'm going to turn it over to him, and then we'll be here for any questions at the end. Just get out of the way.
Okay, again, I'm Reese Henry, and we started the construction of this project about 3 weeks ago, first with just some items. So we got, don't have a lot going forward yet, but we'll kind of give you the background more than anything, and then what we kind of had to work through to get to the start of construction. So, let's see how we put this forward. There we go. All right. This project is, the Ballpark Boulevard already existed all the way up to about this point here. And this project is to continue it another 900 feet through the city of Phoenix and then bring it all the way around to terminating at 99th Avenue with Maryland, on the Maryland alignment. It's 8,500 feet of new road. Part of this project is a new bridge spanning the Bethany Home Outfall Channel. This initial phase of construction will be three lanes, one center lane, and that's a temporary condition until ultimate build out when the development happens for the Vision 4 area. We'll get to that. The total current estimate is $12 million. That includes all design. And this project has been broken into four separate segments, mainly due to the fact that we have multiple agencies involved, multiple project stakeholders. And the construction of this project is targeted for completion on February 1, 2020. Again, this is the kind of a basic schematic of the alignment, the proposed alignment that we're working off of. Project stakeholders are City of Phoenix, City of Glendale, Vision 4 Partners, Salt River Project, ADOT, Flood Control, Arizona Department of Water Resources, Bureau of Reclamation, and Roosevelt Irrigation District. And we'll kind of address each one of these, the nexus between each one of these, as we talk about the four segments that this project is broken into. This is the first segment. It's in the City of Phoenix. This is the continuation of the where the road construction was stopped in 2010, I believe, and up to the city limits, which is right here. And there was an agreement that we had with the City of Phoenix during the Camelback Ranch, which is the baseball facility, that we would finish this portion of the roadway.
Now, what street is that where the city limit starts for Glendale?
This would be the Bethany Home Road alignment. And Flood Control District has all this property adjacent to the right-of-way, so we've been working closely with them, and this developer is actually in development of a brand new subdivision, Mattamy Homes, here. So we've also been working closely with them on design elements, and this is a City of Glendale water well site. And this is the approach up to building up this approach to the bridge. Here's our three-span bridge for crossing the Bethany Home Outfall Channel. We had to raise the earthwork quite a bit through here, and the existing box culvert bridge is going to remain in place for it has become part of a multi-use path, and SRP uses it for access into their basins here. We've started construction. The first phase of this construction is to build up the approach, which was all this earthwork here, and get these piers drilled and formed. So concrete pouring is actually going to be happening tomorrow into these casings. And so there's going to be a total of eight piers for this crossing. Where we got the dirt to build this up, which is about 10 feet of fill, we took it out of the Salt River Project NAUSP basins, and that's the New River Agua Fria Underground Storage Project, and that's again where our nexus with Arizona Department of Water Resources is, the for the permitting for underground water recharge. And this dirt in here, so our roadway is going to be taking a little bit of these basins, so to give that back, we're giving them this triangle, so we'll be excavating that out, making it part of this basin, which worked well for us because we need this dirt to build up the rest of this road. So we have a zero import job. And this is the segment three portion, which will begin where the actually about right here. And this piece is almost completely SRP. We have some nexus with flood control district here. A big component here was getting the permit from Arizona Department of Water Resources to build this, and SRP helped us get that through, and it was a good deal. This is the Bureau of Reclamation Grand Canal Drain, so we're building another bridge here, except it's a modified box culvert, be about 130 feet wide, and this is our segment four. And this segment is through the private owners through here. And these, we call these the Vision Four Partners. They've all kind of teamed up together to donate right of way and participate in the master plan for this whole area. And by the way, we divvied up the engineering with one consultant for this whole segment for 1, 2, and 3.
Well, show me where 1, 2, and 3 are.
Well, this is 1, this is 2, and then this is all the way up here is to 3. So we gave one consultant that design project, and then to expedite, we gave this segment to another consultant, because again, there's multiple agency issues involved, and it actually benefited our timeline to do that. This segment 4, we have another Roosevelt Irrigation District issue here, where we have some existing easements, and we have to work with them to get them abandoned for the right of way. Plus, we're going to be creating a new easement, and at some point in the future, burying this irrigation canal that exists right now under the ground in this area here. But all this is to prepare for the future ultimate build out of this road, which is 5 lanes. So the temporary build for now is 3 lanes. And we've planned for the temporary condition of our intersection at 99th Avenue in Maryland. This will be the temporary condition, and we put our ultimate build out condition once we get all the issues with the Roosevelt Irrigation District worked out, and then we'll be able to build this portion here, which will have the intersection aligned perfectly with the existing intersection of Maryland. The plan is to call the entire portion between 99th Avenue and Camelback Ballpark Boulevard. So the whole road from 99th Avenue all the way down to Camelback will be Ballpark Boulevard. And the plan was to connect this facility with the Westgate development and open this up for future development here. This is the Vision 4 Partners area. Do we have any questions?
Commissioner Nyland?
Just curious, by using the dirt you used, you must have had a considerable amount of money saved. Any idea what that money amount is?
Oh, that's a good question. Our import for the first segment, I believe, was around $200,000. And because SRP donated us that dirt for free, we didn't have to spend that money.
I will tell you that cost has probably risen in the last year to 2 years, probably 25 to 30%. So even though we saved some money on import, we've more than eaten up that cost in just price escalations in the last year to 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, especially so, concrete, huh?
So it's great that we didn't have to spend that money,
right?
Because it would have cost us more today than it would have 2 years ago.
Yeah.
What did you say the total cost of this project? $20 million or
$12 million?
$12 million. And we have to pay that out over the next couple months, correct?
Yeah, February 1st.
Basically, because
February 1st, yeah.
It's supposed to be done by February 1st.
Yes.
Just curious, how long does it take those pillars to dry?
28 days is the standard answer, but yeah. 7 days you'll get 90, is we want to see 90% strength in 7 days, and then ultimate strength in 28. So
are they full of concrete, or is it just circular?
Yeah, it's a column of concrete with steel in there, with a steel rebar cage. So yeah, it's solid concrete.
Okay. Thank you.
of the vision for property people? Have they projected anything that's going to be going in there?
We are working with the group. I think we have a meeting with them next week. The 12th stands out in my mind, and we are looking at a zoning package with them. So they have, nobody's committed on what it's going to build. It's more going to be on the lines of what are the parameters of what you can build. So it'll be the zoning package we're going to discuss with them next week.
Along that line, is that going to be a PAD then?
Yes, I think we're going to call it the Vision 4 PAD.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Great. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we're discussing item number 7. Resolution of the Citizens Active Transportation Advisory Committee. Yes, okay.
Oh.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Chair Gears and Commissioners, Rob will present information and request CTOC action on the proposed dissolution of the Citizens Active Transportation Advisory Committee, which is a subcommittee of the CTOC. Rob's going to provide some information on internal discussions regarding this request and then ask for action.
Hello, everyone. So today, after my presentation, the hope is, we are looking for a recommendation or an action from this, from CTOC. Hopefully the action is to dissolve the Citizens Active Transportation Advisory Committee, which is a subcommittee of CTOC. And I'll go into why we are making this, why we are bringing this here. So transportation staff basically came to, you know, this has been discussed a little bit over time. Couple of years ago, this came up, this item, because we were having a difficulty getting quorum and conduct meetings of the citizens, what used to be called the Bicycle Advisory Committee, or CBAC, which then was renamed to CATAC, Active Transportation Advisory Committee. We did, so I'm going to come back to some of these items, but so after that challenge with getting quorum met and meetings be connected, or 2 years ago, we were in the middle of the transportation plan process, so we felt that may not be the appropriate time to make a committee change. So we held off on that, on doing anything, and we thought we'll hold off until the plan is complete. So that plan itself took its own process. You know, instead of doing it, we were doing a 25-year plan, and then it ended up being a 10-year program that we went through CTOC and council last year. And then we had new membership, or at least as many members as the group could have, based on interest from residents in Glendale. So we have 5 members, and of the 5 members, CTOC representation is one, Marie. Commissioner Nesville is one, and now CTOC member Commissioner Fundus was also a member of CATAC, and we had 3 other members. One of the remaining 3 members is a new member, and I don't think that is. So needless to say, we've had challenges with getting attendance. We only have 5 members, and the quorum requirement is 4, and we, a lot of times we couldn't even get the 4. And so with that challenge, and then on top of that, the fact that CTOC is supposed to be, this group is supposed to be based on ordinance and council ordinance, you're supposed to be recommending and acting on all transportation issues. The exception is, I mean, you do want even on airport issues, but airport has its own aviation advisory commission. But airport's also a little unique in terms of how they, what they do, and you know how they are like a business, and they have their own entities to deal with. With the exception of airport, all of other transportation has CTOC, and then there's CATAC, which is only for active transportation of bicycle, pedestrian kind of activity. So it's also something that CTOC does, but CATAC's been identified as subcommittee of CTOC to do the same thing. And we are having challenges with CATAC quorum and interest from public to represent Glendale on a committee. So based on all that information, we at transportation staff level, we agreed that we need to take this forward. When CBAC was being named from CBAC to CATAC, we went through CTOC. But at that point, we also found out that council had a lot of interest in that renaming. So just to make sure we have a feel for all of this, we went through Government Services Committee, which is basically a subcommittee of council, and also through council. And they basically they basically agreed with staff recommendation. The one thing that they asked that the CATAC members have an opportunity after the dissolution of the committee to still have an opportunity to attend these meetings. And we are including them in the email correspondence that goes out to CTOC members so that they're informed and they have an opportunity to be present and share their or provide their input. So with all that information, I know I had a presentation and I sort of, you know, went around all of that, but based on that, we request an action from this group, but I'll answer any questions. But that's our recommendation for an action. Yes.
So what are some of the annual events that CATAC has sponsored that CTOC will be taking over?
The family bike ride.
So CATAC as a group, did not have a particular activity that they were, the bicycle, Glendale family bike ride, is a city event that everyone, CTOC members and CATAC members, volunteer and assisted in making the event happen. But it wasn't necessarily an event that belonged to one group or another. It basically was a city-sponsored event. We had CTOC and CATAC members who were assisting in doing that. There was also Valley Metro and other vendors that we were getting, nonprofits that were assisting. So it was a joint effort between multiple entities.
So would CTOC be responsible for putting that together, or we would just be cooperating with whoever does that?
So it still would be, maybe I wasn't. So the event, even in the past, was responsibility of Glendale. So that means CTOC, CATAC, and staff were all responsible for it. Mm. So it doesn't change any of CTOC's responsibility. Bicycle and pedestrian activities and projects in the past went through CATAC, CBAC and CATAC, what's now CATAC, but they still ended up coming through CTOC. CATAC, it was considered a subcommittee of this group. Mm-hmm. So whatever they did or recommended still had to go through this group before it went to council or anything happened with it.
Mm-hmm. But in the future, there won't be CATAC.
No CATAC. But
so
this
it's just coming through us,
yes,
to approve the budget.
Yes.
And
yes. So okay. We'll still be going through
the same thing we normally
and
do.
And through council. Your responsibility does not change because CATAC was a subcommittee,
right,
of yours.
But I do have a question, because based on Patrick's email to us, because it's not written here. Mm-hmm. We're going to dissolve the, you know, the motion to dissolve the CAT Act, but also to invite the members of their committee to join our committee.
Sure.
My concern for that is, if they had a problem with the quorum, that's going to have an effect on our quorum.
So maybe I should clarify what he meant. The remaining three members that are not part of this group, they will be invited to be present and share their opinions and perspectives, but not as voting members. So that does not change the constitution of this group, so it does not change the quorum requirements. Okay. That was the whole intent.
So our quorum is 11, though?
It remains 11.
It'll stay 11. Okay.
Otherwise, we'd be bringing the same same concerns.
Right, that was
a larger
group.
We need a more. Yeah.
Okay, any other questions?
I have just a comment.
Yes.
A couple of things. One, where the comment came about, with regards to approving budgets and such, the Active Transportation Advisory Committee was strictly an advisory committee, so we never took a vote on any action item, really, and had no approval to, had no authority to approve any budgets or such. That would have probably gone straight here, I assume.
Right.
Were you the chairman?
Yes, still am for maybe about 10 more minutes. So I've been the chairman for 2019, which so far has been one meeting.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, that's good. I was the chairman of the Neighborhood Commission for a month before they dissolved it, so you had some time.
Well, for clarification, he's been the chair for one meeting because...
One meeting? Oh, okay, then we're equal.
Because we haven't been able to hold a meeting.
Technically, we don't approve a budget. We recommend it to the council also, so we don't do approve either.
So what I need is a motion that we dissolve the CAT, and that their three green members could visit us in advisory capacity.
So moved.
Do I have a second? And we don't need really a roll call on that. So, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Who was the second?
That was
Commissioner Nyman. Who was the first? That's right. Sorry.
Is that good enough, Patrick?
So, we have a motion and second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
And all opposed? None.
It was a good run for you.
Yeah, I think it was fun while it lasted.
You wanted to make sure it was right.
Well, we lost two members that came every single time, is what part of the problem was.
And then that hurt.
Mm-hmm. Okay, manager's report. And this, for the manager's report, it's for information only. So sit back and absorb.
Right, and if you feel any of this stuff needs to be agendized for future because you have questions
if you want more discussion, we'll just put on the agenda in the future.
Just bombard Patrick with emails then.
So a couple things. There are only two items I'm going to share information. I'm going to go in a little in depth on these items. The first one is a transportation program / transportation plan. I mentioned briefly as part of the last agenda item. Last year, we started with what was a transportation plan, which was supposed to be a 25-year horizon. And after we did a council workshop and went through CTOC, seemed like a 10-year horizon was more of interest. So we came back to CTOC and we went to council on a 10-year transportation program. So this year, we were planning on updating it. So we went through CTOC in early April, the April CTOC meeting, and then we went through we went to council for a workshop to get their input in the April meeting as well. So after the April meeting, workshop meeting with council, we basically did not receive a strong direction. They basically gave us input, but they felt like they wanted us to come back. So we came back to CTOC, I believe, in May, in the May meeting, and the plan was to go to council towards the end of May, May 28th. And after we went through CTOC, we prepared everything and we got additional input, and it seemed like leadership wants to present a 25-year picture to council. So we'll come back to CTOC. Probably right now, it's just a guess, but I'm guessing, if I had to guess, I'm going to say August is probably when we'll come back to you. But that also, we are still, it's a work in progress. We are gathering a lot of data that goes towards a 25-year projection. So there's a lot of work to be done. So depending on how the work goes, it could be September as well. But whatever that is, before we go to council, the goal is to go through CTOC. Now, if for some reason CTOC cannot hold a meeting, we will still share that information. We've done that in the past, I believe. We will get that information to you, and if necessary, maybe even hold an emergency meeting if we couldn't get a regular meeting schedule. So that's the, I just wanted to give you, share with you all the information that we have so far. We are working on that. It'll be a long effort for us. If everything goes smoothly, August, maybe September, we'll come back to you, get your recommendation before we go to council. So that's what we're working on. So obviously this will be a future agenda item, so you'll have your opportunity to speak, make recommendations. Bicycle parking. Now, this is an interest. When actually CATAC held a meeting, they actually numerous things, this was one of the items of interest. You know, when commissioners or committee members, users were out in and about, they noticed there's not a lot of bicycle parking. So the question came about, why do we not have more bicycle parking? And the response was, our code does not require developments to install bicycle parking. When the developments come through, we do make a recommendation that they install bicycle parking, but because the code doesn't require it, we cannot require them to do it. So one of the recommendations from the committee was, why don't you look into staff looking to getting that made as part of the code? And Patrick's been working with the planning department staff, and I believe we have an agreement between transportation and planning that that should be included, and we will push for that. There's a process, we are still in the early part of the process, but hopefully, you know, Patrick will be involved in the development of the zoning code. So hopefully, you know, that's the direction it's going, that we'll get that installed, but we've at least initiated the process between us and the planning department staff.
Our timing was really good because the city is doing a whole zoning code update. Okay. So this fits in nicely with being able to recommend these types of requirements for developers moving forward. So the zoning code update will start probably near the end of this month. And it will take some time, probably a year or more, as part of that bigger project. But we will be involved on the technical advisory committee on the bicycle parking and other transportation matters. And we will report back to the CTOC on that.
Could you explain just a little more what you mean by bicycle parking?
So, you know, for your vehicles, you have your 10 by 20 or 9 by 18 stalls that are painted. For bicycles, generally, you can't just leave a bicycle. You have to secure it, otherwise it tends to walk away. So they have bicycle racks or, you know, there's different types of, you probably have seen metal frames that have slots for wheels, or sometimes they look like corrals. So basically you can secure your bicycle and removable components to that.
Is this on the public right of way, or it's not at Walmart or Kmart, it's just at bus stops? Or
if at every development, as in Walmart, Kmart, at apartment complexes, it's at shopping centers.
So it would be a zoning so that Walmart has to provide or whatever, okay.
Right. Right now, they do if they do it because they want to do it, they want to do the right thing, or because staff made a recommendation and they went along with it, not because they're required to do it.
Okay.
The vehicular parking, the stalls that they paint, there's a requirement based on the area of development, the square footage of the building and type of use. There's a certain number of parking requirements. They have some flexibility, but there's a requirement that's making them do that. So we've seen where the voluntary effort or the advisory effort from staff isn't going as far as the interest is from users. So the next step is maybe make it a requirement.
Okay, that sounds good to me. Thank you.
Are you ready for questions?
Can't ask questions.
So I'm happy to answer questions, but I think we're not allowed to. If you want, we can agendize this and we can have a discussion on it. If there will be definitely opportunity in the future because Patrick will be on the group and he'll be bringing back updates. But if you want to have a discussion before that, we can agendize it for the next meeting and you can ask questions and I can answer.
So no questions now.
In this agenda item, the manager's update, I'm supposed to share information and not take questions.
Thank you.
Mine was a clarification. It wasn't really a question.
I
Lucky we didn't have
illegal
people here.
Definition.
Thank you very much.
That's why.
Yeah,
so let's get away with that.
Well, I didn't understand, Buck. I was thinking every bus stop now is going to have a bike rack and everything. Okay, commissioner updates. Do we have any commissioner updates? Anybody do anything other than going to Texas and California and Nova Scotia?
I went to our Saguaro district. I got an email from our council person to come to an advisory committee meeting. It wasn't directly related to transportation, but it was related to one of the presentations we got. And the scary thing was, I knew more about what was going on with the homeless situation in Glendale than the people who were running the meeting. They wanted to talk about citizen recommendations on how we should handle the homeless people in Glendale, and I had notes from the presentation we got from Human Services, so I had a lot of information that I could share with them.
Mm-hmm. So who's your district? Who's your council?
Ray Malmar. That's the only other interesting thing that I did as far as city business goes.
Okay. We're supposed to do something. How many times a year?
Twice
a year. So think of something to do.
Well, last week we had a Yucca district meeting, and we had two characters, Parab and Trevor, there at the meeting. It was a bashing meeting. No, but most of the focus was on questions with the budget. And what is her name again? Our new
Vicky Rios.
And they announced her as the new, assistant city manager at that time too. And Vicky talked about the budget, where there's restraints, and of course Joyce was telling her, "Well, we'll find money. We'll help." But most of the questions were directed towards Trevor on the transportation issues, the roads, of course, the pothole issue, which the city jumped on real fast and fixed the errors of people named on potholes. They did fix that right away. And I know several of my neighbors were happy about that, getting rid of the pothole problems, like on Camelback and the 79th Avenue. They kind of did some touch up there, which was good, because that road was like running in the backcountry, driving. You need a four-wheeler to go down that street. But present at the meeting was the mayor, Councilman Member Menar, and Hugh was there, and of course Joyce Clark, who's the council person for that meeting. And then
Lieutenant Cooper from the Gateway Police Station was there to address any law enforcement issues. And then, of course, Parab and Trevor were there. And see, and Vicky and who else? That was it, right?
Yes. There were other city staff.
There was a police. Martin Martin was there.
Yes. So there was a court, or it's a court, development services director, who's new.
Who's Cody?
Yeah, that's right. You had a couple people. From
and then we had a police department representative.
Yeah, Lieutenant Cooper here. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. You had Cody, you know, City Code.
Oh yeah, we had the gentleman from City Code. That's right, the new director.
So the way development services includes planning, court enforcement, and building safety. Yeah. And so he's a new hire. Their development services. There's a lot of changes in the development services department. So they have a new director. They have a lot of new staff that are. So they're making a lot of changes in it. So. Yeah.
And we've talked about, he's been getting familiar by driving around, getting to know the areas and the people and the staff, especially for code compliance. This is a big focus from where he came from before.
All right. Future agenda items. Future agenda items. I'd like to bring up one of the subject. In the minutes last time, we discussed about, I think, somebody mentioned the two roads repaired in their neighborhood. One was done good, the other one wasn't done as good. And you mentioned that the director gave his presentation. I would like him to come back and explain why a road on Maryland on 61st Avenue is paved really nice, but the road on 62nd, it looks the same, but when you get on it, it's just rough. And was it a different contractor? Was it a different style? To get specific on why within a square mile there are two different roads. You had, I think it was your roads, because I've driven over a couple and they look the same, but when you turn on them, it's like Thunderbird. Thunderbird had a lot of the filling along, a lot of bumps, so they repaved it and now the bumps are just all paved over, but they're still there and you still go, but they're just all paved over and it looks pretty so you don't see them. So I just, and yet the next road over is perfectly smooth. And I know there's instances, so we'd like to just a little bit specifics. I think it might be a different contractor doing it, the same process, and they just are trained or something. Mm-hmm. There's something going on that's different.
So let's can we, so to make this clear, your first one was Maryland?
I'm just using that as an example. I have to get specific. You had specific streets.
So I would ask that maybe if you have specific locations, if you can share that with Patrick,
okay.
When the person's presenting, they can gather, because now we are, you know, if we are asking about location versus location and why it feels different, it could be different treatment or different
consistent context. Across the city.
So, mm-hmm. So.
And I understand there's different processes, you know, this road is all the way down, but when it looks like they're doing the same thing, this one comes out smooth, that one comes out like they forgot to roll it.
Patch chunks
and some of them fall apart as soon as you walk on them.
Yeah, so we'll get Javier back here. I if you have specific locations that you looked at, please share that. That way he can do a better job of explaining why the differences between all the different places. Mm-hmm. Otherwise he can generally address it, but you'll probably hear something similar to what I was trying to say, and you probably won't be satisfied, and I want to do it.
My concern is warranty, because a lot of people do a lot of things. I'm in irrigation district, and when the city had the federal government come in and put handicap ramps in every intersection, every one of those, they broke the irrigation pipes, but it didn't show up until 4 or 5 years later. And the city's now on the hook for millions to repair it, and I just like to make sure they catch it and have the contractors repair it before our tax dollars pay for the same thing again and again.
Yes.
That's only interest I have. Any topics?
Well, I'd like to, you know, like you were saying, I'd like to find the phase when they plan to start in that area between Camelback and Missouri Synod. They're going to have to tear that all out.
Could you repeat the location again?
Camelback on 79th Avenue between Camelback and Missouri. They did patchwork, but that road is so torn up, we know they're going to have to pull. But I know there's development going in, so I have a feeling they're waiting for that development to put some of that money in the pot.
Sure.
Can you get that? Can he discuss any type of quality checks, too, after the road is completed?
So I can speak for generally the process is, before anything's done, Javier goes out, does a field check on what the condition of the existing roadway is, and then comes back, comes up with a plan on what the treatment needs to be, and then they go to, we have different contracts for different types of treatments, and based on the type of treatment that he selected based on the condition, then they approach the contractor schedules, and then after, while the work is being done and after the work's being done, there's inspectors. City has inspectors. So they do checks and inspections while the construction is going on and after it's complete. So, and Javier can go into all kind of details on that. That's where, if we have locations, he can get into details of what the type of treatment was. It may seem like it's all the same, but depending on different, sometimes a roadway might look great, and that's the one that's actually in worse off shape than the one that doesn't look very well, because the surface stuff isn't all, you know, how the roadway is going to react over time.
Yeah,
here's what he's using it.
Yeah.
So that's where, if you have specific locations, he can explain why a selection was made and what they went through to make sure that it's done the right way. Now, ideally, if we had also unlimited resources, we would do what would be traditional treatments. You know, you go take off a top layer, right, mill it, and then do a new overlay, and then, you know, some of the stuff that you're talking about, pavement would be seamless, smooth. Obviously, we are trying to stretch the dollars as far as we can, and obviously, we are also trying to catch up on. We have a lot of locations, so it's also balancing, doing that balancing act of trying to address more locations with the limited resources. So,
Commissioner Lyland,
I'd like to request that I put on the agenda has to do with just that, the budget. I'd like to invite the director. I would like to see on the agenda invitation sent to the director of finance of the city of Glendale to elaborate on the conditions that came out of the last meeting because of the man sharing with us the audit, Mr. Goldman, I believe, four different sections that I was not satisfied personally as a commissioner with. One had to do with the pulling of the manual, which created some challenges, it looked like. Second thing had to do with the director of finance or the finance department actually making the decisions, and according to this gentleman who was representing the audit, and see how that is actually done. In other words, have a clear understanding of how the director of finance is involved with transportation related activities where manuals are in place. And that really bothered me. And then the indirect costs that were not met in a fashion that seemed to me very palatable. So I'd like to have elaboration on those areas by the director of finance, since he was the one pointed out by the gentleman who presented the audit.
So Vicky Rios was the finance director. Now she's the assistant city manager. So we'll have Lisette, who's the acting finance director, be. So I think I got two items, right? The manual that you talked about?
Well, the discretion that a director of finance uses in the analysis that they actually, those are the pertinent issues. How do they come up with this to pull a manual? That's one thing. It was already suggested that maybe the manual was out of date. I doubt that. That manual had probably some extensive work put into it and budget to supplement it. But the response we got when we went after that $1.4 million in indirect cost being over where it should have been, that explanation did not float with me anyway. So that was pointed back to the director of finance to be the one that made that decision. So I'd like to see that person come into that particular area of subject and topic. Okay. How do they make those things happen?
Sure.
You know, because you have to live, transportation department or whatever department has to live with these decisions. And so that's when I asked the question, and the response was negative. My question, if you remember, was that was that a manipulation of the actual budget? And did they misalign or manipulate those funds? And Mr. Goldman, I believe, responded in the negative. I'd like to have further elaboration also from the Director of Finance on that subject.
Sure. That's two items.
Three.
Three. So I got the manual, indirect cost,
and then manipulation funds.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
In other words, movement of funds to make it look whole at the same time occurring to make the city budget look better at the disservice of a department like transportation.
Okay.
You have to live with those judgments.
Okay.
I mean, every department has to. This particular commission, because we have such interest from our citizens about the money being spent on the roads, we constantly get those questions. Well, what's happening? How come that street got that kind of budget and this street got that kind of budget? Is that a decision that the budget alignment is made by the director of finance? So when we asked that, that question came back from this Mr. Goldman, that the director of finance indeed was the person making those decisions on realignments. So that's what I want clarification on.
Okay.
So budget realignment is one thing.
Okay.
Pulling a manual is another thing.
Okay.
And then the question that was responded, I'd like to hear the director of finance say yay or nay about the way funds are aligned after they are restructured.
Okay.
Because you don't have enough money, ever, for transportation.
Right. So...
Probably either if he emailed you the questions, huh?
The third one, I may have her get in touch with you just so that when she's addressing it, she's addressing that question in the manner that what your intent was.
Let me
simplify.
Okay, I'll simplify it even a little bit better. Because of the, like tonight, we looked at a $12 million project.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a lot of money
mm-hmm.
for a little bit of road and the bridges and everything else to get access to Westgate. So we all know the purpose of that road is to make people's access easier so they'll spend more money. And the development that occurs, obviously, will generate more money. So that we understand that, I think, as citizens.
There was one more reason behind it.
Yeah.
And that is probably the most important piece, which is that we built our facility, Camelback Ranch, in the city of Phoenix.
Oh, I know.
And there's only one way out.
Yeah.
And that's creating traffic issues for Phoenix. And I believe when the facility was built, the plan was to connect it. And so Phoenix, I think, has been complaining about the traffic concerns.
I'm sure they have.
So that, I think, was also a driving force.
Sure, I'm sure it was. Those millions that were allocated, obviously, those decisions that are made based on public pressure or other cities' pressure, you know, who makes those decisions, who brings those forward, is it indeed the director of finance of the budget department? Who does that? That's what
sure.
I'm
I'll let her explain the process. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. The process is what I'm after an explanation on.
Sure.
Yeah. And then one more out of just the minutes last week said that there's $1.4 million in indirect cost. You know, in 2014, they figured out what $800,000. This year, they didn't really know. I'm concerned that money from the GO tax, too much of it is being used to pay for citywide indirect costs and not just for direct GO indirect costs. I don't mind paying a little bit for IT, but not for the entire city. And I know that I've mentioned this before, Councilman Clark, before she became vice mayor, took started charging this program $100,000 for indirect or for support where it used to be paid out of the general fund. So that's one of the questions I would like cleared up. Does he know yet where the $1 million, where's the documentation for the $1.4 million or she is that was spent out of the GO money fund?
Right, so those three items that Commissioner Nyland identified includes the indirect costs.
Okay.
So Lucette Camacho, who's the acting finance director, addresses those subjects.
She might not know. She might have to go to the previous director.
Obviously,
good news. She's still here. So.
Yeah, you're going to relate to her our areas of interest, and it's not a witch hunt. It's just understanding the procedures, how these decisions are made at the expense of some departments.
And finance was involved in the audit report. So when the audit report was being prepared, they were involved. So they had this was not a surprise to them. So I'm sure they'd be happy to address.
I'm not an accountant, I want to be, but appropriations and correct placement is a concern, I think, today of most citizens if they're at least involved. They're not involved, they don't care. But we all talk about costs and how it escalated. The department, the engineer made a great comment tonight. It's now up 25%.
Right.
The cost.
Right.
So how do you get those 25% monies? Where do you go get them?
Falls out of a tree.
Yeah, right. You borrow from somebody if you don't do a bond, you know.
So. Yeah, but just think about it this way. The cost of everything across the board is up 25%, so you're going to get that additional tax revenue from that too.
I'm going to say, so yes, cost of everything is going up, but what the engineer basically brought up, which is for the last year and a half or so, cost of construction, especially steel and concrete, have been escalating at a multiple of what the rest of the cost escalation has been. So our revenue does not necessarily keep up with the escalation in some of the construction material. It's the concrete labor, skill labor, steel. Some of the big projects, and we also have a factor, which is we have some major freeway projects going on. Sometimes that takes off all the available skilled labor or material off the market, and so then cost of everything goes up. When the good news, bad news is when the economy is going well, the cost of items also.
Too bad the city can't put a moratorium on building for 3 months, and then when the price drops, go buy everything. And then they'll have all the material. I'm just kidding. Alrighty, okay. Any other comments?
Yes.
Commissioner Rose?
I don't know how to find out that this information other than having it on the agenda, and that's the bike parking requirement in the zoning ordinance. Current bike parking and any budget for the city to install that kind of thing, and how many properties would be affected in for that zoning ordinance.
Commissioner Young.
Okay, then future, and it, we addressed it in the April meeting, but future of transportation.
Uh-huh.
I know there's a lot coming up, technology.
Uh-huh.
I know you guys already have enough information, so just share with us, where is transportation going?
Sure.
How's the city keeping up with everything?
Sure. So looks like our future agenda items is now very
robust.
When David Beard was here, I did ask him, I know Glendale Avenue reconstruction was an item of interest, and so I asked him to, we don't have a July meeting, I know chairs are interested, but August, I asked him to be here. So is that something that you, or do you want us to push that back? Is there...
What? Patrick, does juggle the who's going to be what or when and why?
Okay.
My recommendation would be to take the engineering staff when you can get them. And
okay.
So if they've committed to an August meeting, if you guys are okay with it, my recommendation would be definitely hold that one.
Okay.
The other one that we're likely going to come back with is the transportation plan program. So those are two pretty meaty items that are likely going to appear on our August agenda. If it's okay with the commission, I would say let's plan on that unless other factors come into play, and then we'll work the other items in as
okay.
we can get them in.
I'd like to add one more item to the
yes,
August
sir.
Agenda. Could we add an action item to make sure the air conditioner is on until 8 o'clock?
Yeah,
it's getting kind of warm.
Warm.
Or fans.
It's an ongoing effort on our part.
Can you
bring
some
continue that.
Fans?
Yes.
It's only 7 o'clock.
December will be nice and cool, and you don't worry about it.
Yeah, and then they'll say the air conditioner's working, and we need the heater on.
Okay, is that it for future items? Our next meeting will be in August, so we don't have a July meeting. And this one's lasted less than 60 minutes. Am I doing something wrong or what? So if there's no objections, I will call this meeting adjourned.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the